Of Artificer Creation.
Welcome to episode 151 of the Let's Talk Photography podcast. I'm your host, Bart Bouchotz, and this is the show for April 2026. This is another one of those episodes where I would like to share an anecdote with you. Not because I think that you should do exactly what I did in the specific sense, but rather because I hope to inspire you to make the same types of choices that I made. Your own choices to meet your own desired needs, but really just to illustrate the power of taking the time before I set off to make deliberate choices and then follow through on them and find that actually I came home with better images because I had taken the time to do that. So the reason I set out to take some photographs was inspired by Glass.Photo. I have mentioned Glass many times, without a shadow of a doubt, the most productive, the most enjoyable, the most, basically the most fulfilling public social media site that I am involved in. The community there is just fantastic. The only community that's nicer is Alison Sheridan's private Podfeed community, but that's not social media. That is a community around a podcast. Glass.Photo is a public social media site. I share my images there, but also there is an amazing community of photographers there. For the simple reason that you don't get to take part if you're not prepared to have enough skin in the game to pay for a membership. And that seems to be a sufficient filter to keep things positive. The keyboard warriors don't go to Glass. It's amazing. Anyway, there are many, many reasons I love Glass. But one of the things that regularly works to help my photography improve, as well as just the good community and the good conversations, is that they have this feature called a featured category. So every month, the staff effectively set a challenge for the Glass membership by choosing a category to feature. So categories on Glass are like tags on more traditional social media sites, Flickr or whatever. In fact, they even use the tag icon. So why do I not call it tags? I'm not quite sure. But unlike most tagging systems, Glass forces you to think about your categories by limiting both the categories that exist. You can't just make one up. You can only choose from the set of categories that exist in the system. And you can only assign three of them to any specific image. So you have to choose. Each category also has a matching blog post where the staff explain what the category is for. So while the list of categories is slowly growing over time, it's not overwhelming. And when you upload a photo and you assign it, you know, to your maximum of three tags, that deliberateness is enough to force curation and thoughtfulness. And it means that the signal-to-noise ratio on the category at the platform level stays low, or sorry, high, signal high, noise low. So it's genuinely fun to scroll around through a category that takes your fancy and look at the photographs, because they'll all be relevant and they'll all have been chosen. It's not that the photograph is vaguely relevant, it's one of the three most important things about the photograph is whatever the category is. And so it really can be fun. And so each month, a new category is chosen. It then becomes sort of highlighted by being turned yellow and pinned to the front of the list of categories when you upload a new photograph. And then at the end of the month, so at the start of the month, actually, there's a post made by the staff to explain why the category is chosen for this month. And it's often a timely category. And there's always a good reason. And it sort of sets the mood for the month in terms of what they're hoping to inspire in people. And then after the month ends, some time goes by, and then a week or two later, another blog post appears from the staff with their picks for what they found were the most interesting images from the month. And they're often, I always read that post. I always glance through that post. And I, generally speaking, end up sending appreciation, which is their version of, Glass's version of favoriting, to a lot of the images chosen because the staff choose really good images. Anyway, the category chosen for April 2026 is forest. And, like I say, the whole point is to inspire us all to go out and take photographs. I was inspired to go out and take photographs of forests. In fact, I was inspired to go do something that's sort of been on the back of my mind for a while. So there is an old house, Carton House, and its grounds are preserved partly as a golf course and just partly preserved, which means that there are forest walks, woodland walks, through the more natural parts of the estate. And a lot of wildflowers grow there. And I always like to make sure to get through there every spring when I get a chance to get some photographs of wildflowers. But this time, I was inspired not to just get macros of flowers, but wildflowers in their forest setting to tell the forest story of those wildflowers. So woodland flowers, not flowers. So my plan, I've been dealing with some health issues lately, so I've not been out cycling. I do not have my usual energy levels, even nearly so. But on Easter Monday, I had enough energy to go for a gentle walk to Carton, half my usual pace, but it didn't matter. I had all afternoon. I literally gave myself all afternoon. And I strolled very slowly through the prettiest parts of the woodland trail, where I know it is the most, there's most wildflowers, it's the nicest old trees, it's just the most, the nicest part of the woodland trails. And like I say, I took the afternoon for it. I was very slow, very, very slow compared to my usual self. But actually, that may have been a feature, not a bug, because I was walking slowly anyway, I really wasn't worried about stopping and pausing and bending down. You know, that's kind of what I was doing anyway. So I really did go for a leisurely stroll through that forest. But I made sure before I started shooting that I wasn't going to, it's overwhelming, right? It's a forest with millions of flowers, individual flowers. The amount of possible photographs to take in there is infinite. So I wanted to constrain myself before I went in so I wouldn't be overwhelmed and so I would focus in on the thing I was trying to achieve. So I made two specific choices before entering the forest. The first artistic choice was to shoot low, close and wide, and the second to shoot vertical. So I always like to shoot from my subject's point of view, whether it's kids, pets, wildlife, flowers. So that's sort of how I tend to shoot wildflowers anyway, is low. But also, getting close while shooting wide means that not only do you get the detail in the flower, but you also get enough of the background in the shot that you get a sense of the setting. So to get wildflowers in a forest by getting low, wide and close, I should be able to get the detail in the flower and that sense of background so that you have that sense of place, so that it is flowers in a forest, not flowers. Why vertical? Well, woods are tall places. I always feel very small in a forest. So imagine if I was a flower, how tall, how small I would feel, just a few inches off the ground in the shadow of those giant big trees. So my usual love of square and landscape crops wouldn't capture any hint of that, right? It just won't capture a hint of smallness. So it made sense to go the other way, to shoot vertical. I didn't want to be too rigid about this, right? I'm a big believer that every shot, the aspect ratio should be determined by the subject. You shouldn't just rigidly stick to an aspect ratio. Let the subject determine the aspect ratio. It doesn't have to always be 3x4, 2x3, 16:9. It can be whatever it should be for the subject to work. But again, I did want to shoot vertical though. Now, a little note here on the optics of wide and close, right? Because it's worth mentioning why that works. So shooting wide and close allows you to let the wide-angle lens do the opposite of what a telephoto lens does. So when you're using a telephoto lens, the background gets stretched, by which I mean a tiny bit of the real world, some distance behind whatever it is you're focused on with your telephoto lens. It's a tiny piece of reality gets stretched to become the entire background of your photograph, which is why when you use a telephoto, you get these blurred, very vague backgrounds, because it's only a tiny piece of the setting that's been stretched to fill the entire frame. Well, a wide-angle lens is the inverse of that. So whatever you would get if you were to shoot the world at 1:1, the telephoto gives you a teeny tiny subset and stretches it out. Well, with a wide-angle lens, you actually get more of the real world squeezed into your frame. So it's pulling more of the world than would be there at a natural 1x zoom and squeezing it all into that background. Now, because you're getting close, you're still retaining the detail, because the effect of the background getting stretched isn't linear. So if you get close enough, you still have detail on the nearby thing. While the further anything is from you, the more it's getting shrunk, basically. The more of it's being squeezed in. So low and close and wide is what will give you that a macro shot with a big background behind it. And that's perfect for this situation. So that's why I chose that. And again, the shooting low is just an extra little bit, right? The close and wide works the same optically, whether you're shooting low or not. But low, close and wide really gives you that feeling of a small flower in a big forest. And that's exactly what I was aiming for here. So they were my two decisions before I went into the forest. And I went for my walk and I had a good time. And I took plenty of photographs. I did my usual trick of editing them down. You know, shoot freely, cull mercilessly. So I'd say I had about 100 shutter fires, and my final set has 5 images in it. But that's normal for me. That's just, I believe that me as the photographer, it's my job to edit the photographs down, not the viewer's job to look for diamonds in the rough. You know, I need to do that. And so I do. So there is a link in the show notes at lesshashtalk.ie to view the series of finished images on glass. And I hope you take the time to do that, mainly because I'm going to describe them to you now, and I guess it makes more sense if you're looking at what I'm talking about. But I'll describe the images regardless. You can have a look at them later. So it's only 5 images that got picked. So how did I do? Well, I'll be honest, I really like the result. I'm very happy with this set of images. I'm very pleased with how my day in the forest went. So the first thing that proved to be true is that of the keepers, I didn't only shoot at the 0.5x lens while I was there. I did a few things at 1x. You know, it's low and close, not quite as wide. But none of those ended up being the keepers. All of the keepers were at the 0.5, the iPhone's truly wide-angle lens. So, yeah, the keepers really were close and wide, all close and wide. Now, close is a fuzzy term. So most of them were very close. Most of them, the lens was a matter of a few millimeters, you know, an inch, maybe 2 inches. You know, an inch or two away from the flower is where the lens was, for most of them. But one of them actually was taken from quite a bit further back. The primroses, I really wanted the full sort of little ring of leaves that the flowers sprout out of to feature in the shot. And so actually in that case, I would have been 6 inches back or so. But again, the flower is filling the lower third of the frame at least, right? It's a sort of a triangular composition. And then there's plenty of background left too. And of course, that is the shot with the most background in the sharpest of focus, because of course the act of getting close pushes more of the background further out of focus. So by getting 6 inches back instead of an inch or two back, and my background is way more in focus on that shot than in the others. So it has the most direct sort of a here is the forest that these flowers are growing in feel, because the background is in almost perfect focus. It's a little soft, which is perfect. And you can see a path, which is the path I was strolling on, and the trees in the background. And, you know, it is a forest scene. The others, have a hint of forest, but it's the hints are much more out of focus. I guess the one I got the closest to is possibly the bluebells. Not 100% sure. In terms of the low, then, most of them were shot very low. We're talking my usual trick, hold the iPhone upside down so that the lens is as close to the bottom of the phone as possible physically, and then rest the phone on the ground so that you really are just a few millimeters off the ground for many of these shots. But the one exception to that is the bluebells, because bluebells grow on flowering stalks. And so low to the ground, the only thing you get from a bluebell is green leaves. So in the case of the bluebell, I still got very close, but the phone was a foot off the ground to be at flower level. And that gives an interestingly different view, because there's more of the forest floor in the background of that shot than the others. But that's a feature, not a bug, because of course the forest floor is full of more and more and more bluebells in the background. So it's that feeling of, oh, okay, right, this is a clearing in the forest full of bluebells, not just a bluebell in a forest. So again, feature, not a bug. But again, you know, low, close and wide, all wide, mostly low, pretty close all in all. So what about that keeping things vertical then? Well, they are all vertical. There's not a single shot that is square or landscape. And I did actually shoot a few in landscape while I was in there, because there were one or two flowers I thought, maybe, don't be too rigid, maybe these should be landscape. And the end result was no, did not work. It didn't work. So thank goodness I had pre-biased myself to shoot vertical, because the verticals worked and the rest didn't. Now, again, I did say I don't believe in being too rigid about the aspect ratio, so some of them are the iPhone's natural 3:2 aspect ratio, sorry, 4:3 aspect ratio. Not many. I have very, very often cropped the iPhone to the digital SLR 4:3 or 2:3, depending on how you want to describe it. 4:6 or 2:3 aspect ratio. So the yellow celandine flowers are in that aspect ratio. The primroses are in the 4:3. And then others are actually quite close to square, being in 5:4. But 5:4 is still enough off square to have a vertical feel. And then the bluebells on their tall stems, they're actually 16:9, which is very tall and thin. But again, they are all vertical. So I did indeed do what I had intended to do. So have a look on glass. Have a look at the five photographs. So, you know, the first one is of tiny, 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 tiny little one of the yellow-green opposite-leaved golden sexy fridge. These things barely look like flowers. They almost look like leaves with a hint of yellow. There probably are mildly yellow, but to my colorblind eyes, they're just green flowers. Only the flower bit is tiny, and they have these weird leaves that look like they belong in like the age of the dinosaurs, and they just sort of cling to the ground almost like a moss, but they're not a moss. They're really weird. That is shot extremely low and extremely close, and it's cropped at a 5:4, which is again not very vertical, but still vertical. And the woodland path is visible in the background, then you can get a pretty good hint that it was a good thing I brought me hiking shoes, which I did bring me hiking shoes, and I was very glad I did. The second shot then is of these lovely little celandine flowers, and these things are very, very low, and they sort of carpet the forest. They have these lovely sort of dark green waxy leaves and these little sun-shaped yellow flowers, and they're absolutely gorgeous. And so I stuck the lens right into one hero flower. And it's really the only thing that's sharp is that one flower. And, you know, the leaves underneath it are already a little bit soft, and the other flowers behind it are really quite soft. And the trees in the background and the woodland path, they're very soft. But there's you don't need to see much of a tree to know it's a tree. So you definitely get the feeling of, oh, we're on a forest. And to be honest, the woodland trail is still very obvious, even though it's in really quite soft focus. And again, the hero flower being the one and only thing in focus really jumps out. So you get a sense of both the beautiful detail of celandines and the fact that they don't come in ones, they come in pretty nice little clusters. The next image then is of absolutely beautiful little wild violets, little dog violets. these things are tiny. Like the flowers are about half an inch across at most, but they have this wonderfully intricate detail in their very centres. They have these tiny little hairs and these delicate little purple veins. And so the only way to catch the essence of these beautiful flowers is to get really close, to really stick the lens in. So this one has the least of background, but it still has a sense. There's lots of tree trunks in the background, some yellow celandines in the background to give a hint that these forests are not just one or two flowers. There's a lot of wildflowers in here. And like I say, the one perfectly sharp, perfectly face-on violet flower completely dominates with its amazing intricate detail. The next shot then is the bluebells. Again, this is the most vertical. And again, the focus here is very much on that sea of bluebells behind the hero bluebell. Now, it's the start of the bluebell season, so there's a lot of green behind. But they are all bluebell leaves, so that particular shade of green is still appropriate. And it is still peppered with blues. Later in the season, that will be all blue with almost just barely a hint of green, because the bluebells, when they go into full flower, wow, they go into full flower. But, you know, I still think it really captures the feel, and there's enough of the forest in the background to get the idea of, okay, this is a clearing which has these bluebells in it, but we're still in the forest. And then the last one is the primroses, and it is perhaps my favourite image of the whole lot, because you really do get a feel for the whole plant. I think they're beautiful little plants. They don't grow very tall. They're only 3, maybe 4 inches in total off the ground. Tiny little things on the forest floor, but they're just little gems. I just adore them. And to me, this captures the essence of the primrose perfectly. And that's, like I say, what I was hoping for. And this is the one with the most of a feel of being in the forest. The tree framing the left side of the image is in really sharp focus. You have the texture of the bark. There's ivy leaves growing up the tree. You really do have a sense of the forest in this one. So I believe, quite firmly, that I'm really happy I took the time to make my decisions up front, because while I was in the forest, I was way more focused than I would normally be. I also am really happy with the end result. So I do genuinely think that it worked, right? This idea came to fruition. This is actually what I was hoping it would be. And, you know, the thing with photography, and the reason I think it's so important to make your decisions up front, is because photography is fundamentally different to the majority of the creative arts. The majority of creative arts, the problem you have is the blank page. And this is why I'm terrible at drawing, and I can manage to write, but gosh darn it, I still hate that empty page. Right? Me and the empty page are not the best of friends. Photography, though, is different, because you don't start with nothingness and create things. You start with the universe, and your creative force is to choose a specific presentation of a specific subset that captures what you want. And there are infinity many potential photographs wherever you are. And so anything you can do up front to help you narrow yourself in on the subset of reality that you're trying to select, that you're trying to capture, the more chance you have of coming home with what you want. And so I set out to tell a specific story, and I think I did, and the biggest reason I think I did is because I had taken the time to make my decisions up front. And so that's why I'm sharing this story. That's what I'm hoping you will take away from this story, is not my specific decisions, low, close, wide, shoot vertical. That's not the point. Maybe it'll be a useful technique for you while you happen to be out and about taking pictures of flowers, maybe in a garden. Maybe you're trying to get a sense of flowers in a garden and you want to capture the feel of the garden. The same technique will work, right? There's lots of times the same technique will work. The point is, please consider taking the time to make the artistic choices, to pre-visualize the general shape of the images you'd like to come home with. And then I think you will find you have a better chance of succeeding. Right, I'm going to draw a line under there basically because I'm still not well and I'm really quite low on energy, so this is a shorter episode than most. But nonetheless, I hope you enjoyed it. There is an essay version of this episode in the show notes at letstalk.ie. While you are there, you will see that there are buttons to support the show. As always, a great big thank you to everyone who has ever pushed those buttons to support the show, or indeed anyone who's ever supported the show in any way by just telling your friends about it. That's supporting the show too. It all counts as supporting the show. Anyone who has ever supported the show in any way, thank you very much. The show is 100% listener supported. There are no advertisers. And I get to approximately break even making it. And that's kind of what I wanted. And I'm so happy that that's possible because you folks rock. I'm going to draw a line under it there. Again, letstalk.ie for the show notes and to support the show. I have been your host, Bart Bouchot. You can find me at bartb.ie. And until next time, happy snapping.